All righty. That was not supposed to be a plug for this year's convention, but what it was to be is to let you see what's going on. To let you see that RU is far more than somebody strung out on meth and coke and some drugs, but it's far, far more than that. Tonight, if you would, please take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And look at first at verse number 14. Just for the sake of time, we'll skip down to really the verses where I'm going to be talking about tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. There is one little line, though, in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 12 that I want to talk about. And that's the verse that says this. I'll just read that verse first. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race." Let us run the race. Now down in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." It's a very, very important, very familiar part of Scripture. Probably a lot of memorized it. But there's in this passage, there's just some things in there that are very, very familiar. It talks about the so great a cloud of witnesses. It talks about the weights that we are supposed to lay down. It talks about the sin that doth so easily beset us. It talks about the race that each one of us is supposed to run. It talks about keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. It talks about the fact that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God right now. But there's this whole thing came about, I guess, the 2 weeks before Father's Day, and happened to walk in the auditorium that Sunday night when looked in here and the whole Cook family was standing up here singing. And I thought, man, that's good. I like that. That's a pretty special thing. 2 weeks later, boy, that was good. And I thought about that, and I can remember back to some other families that I've run into previous to coming here, that some of those families, if they got all the families together that even wanted to be in church, they'd be very hard-pressed to have a trio, let alone a quartet, let alone a choir like that. It was several months ago we were down at CCNO. I don't know if it was Brother White or who was down there with me, but it was back when we were still having the good Sunday night services, and that particular night there were 15 ladies there. And asked the question, it says, "How many of you ladies were here before and you paid your debt, you did your sentence, you finished it up, and you were let go, and you're back in again for the same thing?" 13 hands went up. How is it Christian school graduates? Public school graduates, I can understand. How is it Christian school graduates can walk across the platform and get their diploma and walk off the platform and just keep on walking out the door and never look back? How can that happen? I don't understand that. Why is it that divorce rate among Christian couples is very much equal to that of the world right now? Don't understand that. I don't understand that. But I want to take you back to that one little phrase tonight that I read just a minute ago, and I want to give you the title of what I'm going to talk about tonight. Simply this is, what happens when we quit running the race? What happens when we quit running the race? Father, please, tonight, in just these next few minutes, God, do a great, great work here tonight, please. God, do something special. Now, Holy Spirit, on Friday nights, our third talk is when you talk to us. So God, if it's okay with you tonight, let's just pretend this is our third talk. And God, tonight, would you talk to us? God, would you do just like you do on a Friday nights? You use human instrumentation. And tonight, you haven't got the best human representation, but God, you don't need much of a human representation. Because God, you're going to do the work. So God, tonight, please, talk to us tonight. God, do something special in this room tonight. Make us different when we leave than how we came in tonight. Please, dear Holy Spirit, do something special tonight. We sure do love you, God, tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Because in this passage, we read about a fellow that really, there was really no excuse for what happened to him. And we're talking about Esau. Because he squandered all the what he could have had, all that he should have had, and he squandered it and for a life that really was very much meaningless. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man can see the Lord. See, here's a man that could have ended up in Hebrews chapter 11 as a major player instead of a bad example. Here's a man that could have been what God wanted him to be instead of just that little, eventually what he became, just a shell of a person. And all this took place very simply for one reason. He quit running his race. He stopped running. We heard on the DVD just a little bit ago, Brother Kingsbury talked about everybody's going to have adversities. Everybody's going to have problems. Everybody's going to have trials in their life. But that's to help us get to see Jesus better. And as a result of quitting the race, refusing to run that race that was before him, something happened to him that not only changed his life, but changed the life of everybody around him that knew him. See, you got to remember one thing, folks. Whether you go up or whether you go down, you do not go alone. You do not go alone. Somebody is watching you. And I know some of these sports players will say, well, I don't want to be a role model. Sorry, fella, you are. If you're going to be on TV and you're going to be selling jerseys and TV tennis shoes and that type of thing, you are a role model. You are one. And everybody in this room, somebody's watching you. Somebody's paying attention to you. Somebody knows where you've gone, where you've been, what you're doing. Somebody knows that. They've been watching. And some things changed in the life of Esau simply because he changed the plan that should have been his. I'm going to give you four things very quickly tonight of some things in his life that changed. Number one, his goals changed. His goals changed. In verse 14, it says, he's told to follow peace. That means, well, basically what it means is this. It means to follow and get after the goal that you have in your life, that plan that God has for you. Whatever it is that's set before you, get after that and go after it, and go after it as hard as you can with the, can't think of the word I want to say, such that it's not going to get away from you. That you are going to get it. Nothing's going to stop you. Nothing can stop you. Nobody will stop you. You're going to achieve that. Go after it in such a way. Well, why was Esau ever told to follow peace? Well, let's go back and talk about Esau's life. Esau was a twin. Esau, his parents, Isaac and Rebecca, were told that they were going to have a child. That child, you know, eventually came with twins. But earlier, God had told them that the elder is going to serve the younger. That meant Esau would serve Jacob, even though Esau was the older. He was the firstborn. He was the older. He was going to serve Jacob. That's one area where the shoe pinched. Second area where they ran into just a little bit of a problem was simply this. The Bible says that Isaac loved Esau. Clearly. Clearly, he loved Esau. Rebecca loved Jacob. Esau was that outdoorsman. Jacob was the cooker. Jacob liked being around the house. Esau liked being outside. Hunting season. Esau would be gone from October 1st till the end of hunting season and never come back again. Jacob would be right there saying, boy, I need a set of Cutco knives. I want the whole set. I want the whole thing because all those when that meat comes in, I've got to cut it up and I'm going to cook and boy. But they showed favoritism. That was one mistake they made, and it was very obvious to them. See, the parents did something. It would destroy. It'll change. It'll hurt. But they did it, and it was very obvious. And as a result, Esau changed. He said, I'm the elder and I'm not going to serve the younger. I don't care what happens. I am not going to serve the younger. I'm not going to serve anybody. And then we know what took place. We know that Jacob tricked Isaac, stole the birthright that belonged to Esau. Rebekah was behind the scenes encouraging it and trying to get it to take place, so everything went through very, very smoothly. And in Genesis chapter 28, look there real, real quick. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter number 28 is going to tell us what takes place here. This is the beginning of the downfall of Esau. Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 6. And the Bible says, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padanaram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padanaram. And as Esau, seeing the daughters of Canaan, pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau into Ishmael and took of the wives which he had, Mahalath, daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Esau saw what the wishes of his father were. And he went and did just exactly what his father wanted him to do. He says, this is what Jacob's going to do. I'm going to go do just exactly the opposite. You see, one thing took place when Esau stopped, when he stopped his race. When he stopped doing that which God had for him, he lost the relationship he had with his mother. He lost the relationship he had with his brother. But he lost the relationship he had with his father. Now keep in mind that he was his father's favorite. He was his father's favorite. Everybody knew it. It was easy to see. He was his father's favorite. He could do no wrong. And because of what he did, he just lost peace with his father, his mother, his brother. Now, all of a sudden, there was no peace. Now, Jacob was a trickster. He was a supplanter. He stole that which belonged to Esau. And Esau allowed that setback that came into his life. He allowed some adversity. He allowed his feelings getting hurt. He allowed that little trial that came, that little bump in the road that came into his life. And as a result of those things that come into his life, instead of acting properly when those trials came, he reacted improperly and he changed his goals. He stopped running the race. Had no interest in running that race whatsoever. So what would Esau say? He'd say something like, that's just not fair. Look what they did to me. My mother, my dad, my brother, look what they did to me. Sound familiar? In our day and age, what would that sound like? I don't deserve demerits. Hey, look what he said about me. Look what she said about me. Hey, he got it. Why can't I have it? Hey, they're out to get me. That just isn't fair. That burns me. He quit running his race. By the way, if those thoughts have ever come out of your mouth, you probably have too. You probably have too. The minute you say, I am not going to run the race that God has set before me, I am not going to be obedient to God, I am not going to do what God tells me to do, immediately when you say that, your goals have just changed and your fellowship changes and you're headed down the same path, just like Esau headed down his wrong path. And even though you try your hardest to be at peace with people, you will never be. You cannot be. You say, why? Because you cannot be at peace with some person if you're not at peace with God. You cannot be. Peace with people can only come as a result of peace with God. And if you stop running the race that God has set before us, you're not going to be at peace with God. And you cannot be at peace with anybody else either. So I just can't get along with them. And this is the reason why I can't get along with them. That's not the reason at all. The reason you can't get along with somebody else is because you can't get along with God. You've got an improper relationship with people because we've got an improper relationship with God. And what we need to do is get back to the basic, get back in our race, and work at that. What Brother Carrington says is that dynamic love relationship with Jesus Christ. Because everything that stems in our life, it all comes from the fact of, how's your walk with God? How's your walk with God? It all stems from the fact that you've stopped running the race or you're stepped up running the race. One or the other. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness, simply, I'm going to paraphrase this very, very quickly for time, but holiness is an attribute of the nature and the character of God. And when you tell God, I'm through, by the way, you'll never say, God, I'm through. I'm not running the race anymore. You'll never say that. What you'll do is on Thursday night, won't show up for soul winning anymore. You'll stop reading the Bible. Yep. Except when you have to. Except when somebody asks you maybe in your Sunday school class to read, or in class to read, or somebody will ask you to read it. You'll stop praying. Except when somebody asks you to pray out loud or want to show off someplace. The whole thing is this. You say, but I'm not going to run the race. That's when the problem begins. Again, you will never tell God, God, I'm done running the race. I've had it. I'm done. What you'll do it is in the actions of your heart. You'll say, God, I'm done. And God will read it. When we stop running the race that sets before us, we no longer have the potential to develop holiness. That is, to be like Jesus Christ. What good does it be? Well, I want to be holy. You can't. You have no peace with God. Let me go back to our little motto again. The man that walks with God always arrives at his destination. Try walking with somebody and you never say a word to them. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can't. It's not going to work. You have forfeited your potential to have a dynamic relation with Jesus Christ when we are not at peace with God. But of course, you got to remember too, when that happens, it's not our fault. It's always somebody else's fault. I mean, it always is. It's what we hear. It's not fair. It's their fault. No, no. It's your fault. It's your fault. You've just forfeited that goal because your goals have changed. You've not verbally said, God, I'm not doing that race again. I don't want that. You've just all of a sudden, let's see, if I don't go soul winning, and if I don't read my Bible, and if I don't pray. Boy, Wednesday night. Hey, there's no master clubs this week. Why go to church? Let's see. The fair was that week, and if nobody will miss me, all kinds of things. Your goals have changed. Number two, your insight has changed. Your insight has changed. That is, that's the way you see things. That's the way you perceive things. That changes. Hebrews 12, 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, obviously, not talking about salvation, because Hebrews is written to save people. But what it's talking about there is our spiritual development, our spiritual growth. And again, it all goes back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. One thing that changes when we quit running the race is we are no longer able to clearly see God in the midst of all our troubles. When things take place, when we say, God, I'm not going to do that, all of a sudden the adversities hit, the trials hit, the problems hit, and we're trying to find Jesus, and we can't see Him anyplace. This verse simply tells us that while we're running your race, keep your eye on Jesus. Now, I'd like to tell you I know what my race is. I'd like to tell you I know where we're going tomorrow. I'd like to tell you I know where I'm going tonight. I don't know. Since I don't know what my race is or where my race is going, I better follow somebody that knows where I'm going, because I don't want to get someplace, one of those little things on a map at a rest area that says, you are here, and I'm thinking, no, I'm over here. I don't like that. Hey, we have GPSs, we have TomToms, we have all those neat things, because we want to get where we're going as quickly as we can get there and not have any problems and get there. Get done, get out. We don't want to get turned around. If I want to run my race, I want to know where my race is going. I want to have somebody that's going to lead me in my race every day, and I want somebody to show me where my race is going. I want somebody to be able to tell me, what am I going to do? God, show me where I'm going to be today. That one day, for example, last Tuesday morning, I thought that the morning I left the house early. Why do I want to get to the fair today before 10 o'clock? There's no reason to. I was there about 9:35. 9:40, that 76-year-old man started walking up and down the aisle. Just walking up and down the aisle, kind of aimlessly. And he got in front and he says, "You got anything that talks about Jesus?" Spent about 15 minutes talking to that dear man. He just needed somebody. He needed somebody right then just to talk to, just to be friends with. Because I've never lost a wife of about probably 50 years. I don't know what that's like. But he does. It didn't make it. Why get there 20 minutes early? Because God says you need to be there 20 minutes early. Amen. See, well, what if I'm not where I'm supposed to be? Well, when something happens, the adversity comes, the trials come, we'll ask questions such as this. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand why this is happening to me. This is not fair. They got the disease and nothing happened to them. We came over here. Why? They got a check. We didn't get a check. That's working out. This isn't working out. When you're not running your race and you're not looking at God, those questions are going to come out. And we become part of a very, very lonely world. I want to tell you something, folks. There's not much of a more lonely place in this world than being some place that you don't like where you are and not much way to get out and knowing that you're sitting there by yourself and that you're praying and God's not doing a thing. It's a pretty lonely place. I'll guarantee you, when Peter was walking on the water, when he first stepped out, I'll guarantee you his eyes were looking square in the eyeballs of Jesus. And as soon as he got out, and as soon as he was walking, and as soon as he started going and kept looking, he was fine. And everything was going good. It's just when he saw the waves coming up a little bit and the wind blowing, he began to say, "God, whoa, 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 look at the waves, look at the wind." And you know the story, he had problems. Why? Because he quit looking.